If you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. In just a moment, we will be spending primarily our time in the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. I've been looking forward to this gospel meeting for a long time, and I appreciate again the elders for the invitation and the congregation so that Sherry and I can be with the good brethren here and some of our own family, which we always appreciate, and to be with both sets of the Chapmans and those whom we love dearly. And this congregation has a close and dear and loving part in our heart and has been that way for some time, and really encouraged to be with you, to see the congregation continue to grow and to see the eldership and to see the good things that are coming out of Hillview. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We want to talk a little bit this morning about the Hillview Model Church in Nashville, Tennessee. How the Hillview congregation can be a model in this area. And I'm so grateful. The singing has been encouraging and the service thus far has been encouraging. I didn't know that Josh was a song leader. You got a 2-for-1 when you got Josh. That's always a good deal. Very encouraging singing and to be around the Lord's table and those good things. If you're here this morning in your 20s, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Shannon, don't raise your hand. But if you're here this morning in your 20s and you are a member of this congregation, I hope that you can come back this evening. I'm not going to single you out this evening. I'm not going to make you stand up or anything. But the decade of the 20s is a very critical decade spiritually for you. The decade of the 20s is a make it or break it decade, spiritually speaking. And we're going to talk this evening. The title of the lesson is Your Faith Really Yours? Is Your Faith Really Yours? And so I hope that you'll come back, all of us. And even though we may not be in our 20s, we might be past that. There are others, there might be children or grandchildren or friends or family that might be struggling during that period of time to remain faithful to the Lord. If you know of someone or if you have a friend in their 20s, invite them this evening at 5 p.m. It's a very important topic. We all want to go to heaven, but the devil attacks us, and he often uses that decade of our life to attack us. And so we want to be forewarned and we want to be strong against him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the brethren there, some of the newer versions say, "You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia." Your version might say, "You became an example." And "For from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to Godward has gone forth so that you need not anything to speak anything." And back in verse 7, "You became a model or an example," verse 7, "to all that believe." Paul was in Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17. It was a very difficult time for him. It's the early 50s A.D. This is his second preaching trip from Antioch. He stopped first. He and Silas stopped first at Philippi. The Lydian household became the first converts on European soil. They continue to travel down the Via Ignatia, a major Roman highway of the day, and they came to Thessalonica. And we know that he stayed at least 3 Sabbaths there, reasoning in the synagogue. A church at Thessalonica begins, but under great persecution. You remember the house of Jason was assaulted, and the problem was so bad, the persecution was so great, that the brethren had to get Paul and Silas and transport them along to Berea because their lives were threatened. And there, of course, we remember how that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind, and they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Paul goes on to Athens and Corinth and Ephesus and then back to Antioch. Sometime after leaving the newly formed church, Paul writes 1 Thessalonians. And one of the first things from his pen is that they are a model church. Brethren, you can be, and you are already, and you can continue to be that model church here in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. A model church is not based upon its size. There are churches of Christ in the Nashville and metro area that are much bigger than the Hillview congregation. It's not based upon size. It's not based upon the physical makeup of the building. There are buildings that you drive by that have architecture that wow a lot of people. It's not the size of the congregation. It's not the style of the building, nor is it the location on which side of town you are. To be a model church, we're going to see this morning what the secret is. I'm going to give you the secret of being that model church, and it has to do with people. That's what the church is in the New Testament. People whose lives are completely consumed with God. Our lesson this morning goes along with your yearly theme of you being God's family. We're going to spend time this morning focusing on your relationship with God. When you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, verses 7 and 8, Paul says that they were a model. But the question we want to ask this morning is, why were they a model? What did they do to become a model? What made them a model? And what we're going to find this morning is when you read the rest of the book, we're just going to stay in the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning. When you read the rest of the book, you're going to find out why they were a model. And what we're going to find this morning is it all relates to God. From the beginning of the spiritual process to the end of the spiritual process, it all relates to God. As you read through 1 Thessalonians, you're going to find references to God all throughout the book, and that becomes a theme of 1 Thessalonians. The Christian's relationship to God from beginning to end. And when we see those relationships, we're going to answer this morning why it was that they were a model. Their entire life, their entire spiritual existence revolved around their relationship with God. That's what made them a model. So, brethren, the Hillview congregation is and continues to be a model here in the Nashville area because everything you say and do and think is going to revolve around God. That's the secret of being a model. We're going to look at their spiritual journey from beginning until Jesus comes again, and we're going to see that it all revolves around their relationship with God. We're going to look at those relationships this morning. We're going to see seven different relationships this morning. And it begins, if you'll turn with me, to chapter 2 and verse 13. All of these relationships deal with the Thessalonian brethren and God. Number one, to be a model church, every time the scripture is presented, it must be received as the word of God. When Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, and he preached the gospel, and in chapter 2 and verse 1, he recounts the history of that, starting at Philippi and then coming into Thessalonica. And when he preached the word of God there, the text says in verse 13, when you received the message, even the word of God, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works in you that believe. We are a model when we receive every scripture as God's word, not as man's word. What made Thessalonica a model church? Well, it began from the very beginning that when the scripture was presented to them, they accepted it as the word of God, not as the word of men. This morning we're going to see from the very beginning of the process all the way to the end, it all revolves around God. And when Scripture is presented here at Hillview, everyone says this is the very Word of God. Today in the religious scene, the Bible is opened and someone might stand up in front of a group and the Bible is opened up. But sometimes people are thinking, well, that's not really the Word of God. That's just Paul's opinion. Or that's just sort of a first century cultural thing that Paul was talking about. That's not for us today. Or this is not really the Word of God. Brethren, you continue to accept everything as the very Word of God. When Josh is preaching and what the elders are demanding and what is being taught in the Bible classes from the little children all the way to the adults, it is the very Word of God. Not someone's think-sos or opinions. And when you continue to be a church that stands up and accepts the full plenary, which means word for word, the full plenary inspiration of Scripture, every word is the very Word of God, then you will be a model church. Sometimes I will hear someone preach and they'll say, well, I'm not really sure. No. I'm not really sure if that's the Word of God. Sometimes you'll hear that. Or sometimes you'll hear a Bible verse presented and somebody will say, well, modern scholars believe this or that about that. And it kind of looks like this, but it's really something else. We are downgrading the very Word of God to what we think and what we feel. When Paul came to Thessalonica in Acts 17, they accepted his preaching as the very Word of God. And then turn with me now to chapter 1 and verse 8. Upon doing that, they turned to God. Do you know how to be a model church? When everybody here, this is their repentance, this is their conversion, this is their change of life, when you turn to God, they didn't turn to a man, they didn't turn to a Church of Christ building, they didn't turn to some hyped up thing at the moment where they got excited, we're hearing about the Asbury revivals and things like that. They were turning to God. So look at chapter 1 in verse 8. Having received the Word of God, then in chapter 1 verses 8, 9, and 10, how that you, verse 9, turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God. And in verse 8, the text says, from you has sounded forth the word of the Lord that not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to God word. In the original language, what we were talking about this morning, it is literally faith toward God. That's why the older English versions have God word, W-A-R-D, ward or toward. In the word toward is this God word. Faith is toward God. It's not in some man. And so their faith was God word. And then they turned, verse 9, toward God. That's how you become a model church. Every aspect of your life is centered around God. What a great thing that is. You know, a lot of times today, individuals will turn to something and they will turn away from something, but it's not God. We're a model when we turn toward God and away from all else in this life. The work of John the Baptist was to get people to turn toward God. The work of Paul, Acts 26, 18, was to get people to turn toward God. To come out of darkness to light and to turn toward God. Today, there are so many people, there are movie stars and music stars and athletic stars, and individuals hold them up in high esteem and they're the role models. We don't need to turn toward man. We need to turn toward God. And we see the slow decline of this great nation of ours, the slippery slope that it is traveling, the Romans chapter 1, slippery slope down into sin and degradation because people will not turn to God. And families will not raise their little children on God. And so when they grow up a little bit and they get out, I can get out on my own, they're gone. And we're seeing the slow secularization and humanistic conditioning of our nation more and more. Let's get rid of the Ten Commandments off the wall of the courthouse. Okay. Let's not post the Ten Commandments anymore on the classroom wall like I saw when I was a child. Let's get rid of the Ten Commandments. Okay. Well, you're going to have a problem. And we're seeing that. And what it's going to take to turn this nation around is not some political party or more of this political party or more of that political party. You know what it's going to take? More Christians. More New Testament Christians who follow God and God's Word. That's what's going to turn the nation around. But notice how they turned toward God. That's true conversion. We're not being converted for any other reason. We're not being converted for a family member or a friend. We're not doing it for some reason. We just want to come to God. They had been serving vain things and idols. Look at chapter 1 and verse 9. You turned unto God from idols. And that's what's going on today. It's all about this empty idolatry. Well, money is my God, and my work and money and things. Oh, no, it's not an actual piece of stone. It's not an actual piece of wood. But like Ezekiel says, there are idols in the heart. And people are serving such vain and empty idolatry. Some of their idols are themselves. We've got to get out of that, get away from that, and come to God. And these individuals in Thessalonica did. That's what made them a model. And when they did that, number three, look at chapter 1 and verse 1, they became a church in God. Paul and Silvanus, another name for Silas and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Underscore in your Bible, in God. Their whole life was in God. He is in and around them. We are a model when God is all around us, when we are constantly dwelling in Him. Not only part-time, not only when I'm at the building, but the Hillview Brethren throughout the week, everything is motivated by me dwelling in God. What would He have for me to do today? How does He want me to think? And I'm not talking about some subjective inner feeling, but as His Word tells me what to do and what to think. So many of our younger people today are guided by what's on their phone and what's out there. We are to be a church, the Hillview Church in God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Our whole thinking, our whole being. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. It's a double whammy there for Paul. Christ is around you as if you're hidden within Him, and then all of that is in God. Do you get the idea that the spiritual realm of your life, well, I'm at work. Well, still there. Well, I got to go to school tomorrow. We don't have spring break yet. I got to go to school. Okay. But the whole thing is in God, how He would have me to live. And so the first thing they did was, well, this is the very Word of God, and then I'm going to turn to God, and then I'm going to live my life in God. You begin to see why they were the model in all of the area around them. And even we're reading this in 2023. Brethren, when you begin to do that very thing, as you already are, and as you continue to do that, you are the model church. in 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him." And then underscore this in your Bible, "and he in God." Sometimes people talk about, well, how does the Holy, how does deity dwell in us? Well, he dwells in us through his word. But look at the last part of the verse. We're to dwell in deity in the sense, "and he in God." In the sense that our entire life is enveloped by God. Well, what about my marriage? Yep, that's included. Well, what about my parenting? Yep, that's included. And what about when I go to work tomorrow? Yeah, that's included. Everything. And it does make our marriage and family and work, and like we were talking about Friday night, the whole thing is about God giving me blessings and it's passing through me out, and I'm being a blessing to others because everything in my life has to be in God. And they continued to be in a city. Philippi was known for a capital area of the Roman Empire. Thessalonica was heavily Roman also. There was a synagogue there. There were Jews there. There was Greek influence. There was Jewish influence. There was Roman influence. And you've got all of this secular influence. But these Christians, Jason and these other Christians, no. Our world is God. That's our world. And they became a model to all who are around them. Jude, verse 1. "Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are called beloved," and you are, "beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ." Beloved in God. Number 3, that was their realm. That was their whole life. And then because of that, turn back with me now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. And I believe maybe Josh had something to say about this even just this last Sunday. I was listening to his sermon last Sunday, just a little bit last night when I got home, winding down a little bit, had a great lesson on the family of God and was talking about serving God and being obedient and active. This accepting God's word and turning to God and being a church in God then led them to daily service to God. In chapter 1 and verse 3, we give thanks, verse 2, "to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ before our God and Father." Do you see that in your Bible? Before our God. Do you see that? Before our God. You're doing things before God. He's the audience. You're out here doing things and you're doing it in front of or before God. He's watching you. He is controlling everything in your life and you're doing it for Him. This work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope, it's before our God. It's in His presence. It's in front of Him. And then we come on down to verses 9 and 10, like we read before, that they turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. To serve. When the Hillview congregation, all of the members as you can, there's different ages here and there's different talents here and there's different abilities here, but when all of you are serving God, when your service is directed to God and before God, we are a model to others. We're not going to serve ourselves. That's the world. That's the problem with our nation. Everybody is looking out for themselves. You may have followed the recent Alex Murdaugh trial and sentencing recently. Regardless of how you feel about that or whether you felt that he was guilty or not, one thing that came out is at least there's one guy in South Carolina that's serving himself. But that's multiplied many, many times over in this nation. It's all about me and how can I get ahead and what's best for me, whether it's lying to do that or doing something else. It's all about me. They were serving God, not themselves. And they were active in their service. And notice that their active service was combined with patient waiting. Chapter 1 in verse 10, to wait for his son from heaven. That's patience. But patience doesn't mean we don't do anything. It's active service and patient waiting. It's a combination of both. And we do have to patiently wait. Man alive, there's stuff going on today that I'm thinking, please, Lord, come. And he has a different time frame. And until he does, I have to patiently wait for that. But I've got to be active in my service. Brethren, when the elders are asking us to do things and there's different groups that are meeting to do different things, let me encourage all of you. It takes all of us at Hillview to be a model church. Yes, we would expect it out of Josh and his family and the elders and their wives and families and certain, the Bible class teacher and the song leader. There's certain ones, but it takes all of us. It takes all of us to have this God-centered life. And one thing is service. Whether it's opening up our home or whether it's calling someone or visiting someone or helping. And even as we get older, we might have more limitations. We might have fewer opportunities, but do what we can. Go to the elders and say, I want to be active. I want to serve God. Give me something to do. And you be that model church. You know, there are so many places in Scripture where service to God is commended. And you see some of those on the PowerPoint. But just be reminded, in Revelation 7:15 and Revelation 22:3, the context of those two passages are those who are around the throne in heaven for all eternity. What are they doing there? They're serving God day and night. God wants around his throne for all eternity those who will serve him, and it starts in this life. Seriously, pick something this week, seriously, and say, I'm going to do this week in service to God. And when all of us at Hillview do that, it truly is a model. What happens in many congregations is you don't have that. And so when we're not busy working and serving others, then that's when the division comes in and the harping and the complaining and the backbiting and this problem and that problem. That's not a model church. I don't know if I've ever known of a congregation where everybody was serving that they were also having problems. I usually don't find that. When everybody's serving and active, that's the group that is growing and that's the model group. Let me encourage us to be simply like the Thessalonians. They were a model, and we're learning this morning why. Their whole life revolved around God. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 1 along the same lines. This congregation was a model church because every day they would walk, and that's Paul's language when he talks about walking. He's not talking about physically walking. He's talking about living. And so in chapter 4 and verse 1, we find that they're a model church because all of the members, chapter 4 and verse 1, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, even as you do walk, that you abound more and more. They were a model church because they lived each day in a way that was worthy of God. And they wanted to please Him. Young people, listen to me today. It's all about, well, I got to please people on social media. You know, I got to please my friends at school. And so I got to dress a certain way and act a certain way. No, you don't. The text says please God. Pleasing God. He's the one that we need to please. Don't worry about people around you. Pleasing God. To walk and to please God even as you do. And then abound more and more. Some in chapter 2 and verse 15, talking about the Jews who rejected Christ, they don't please God. And there's a lot of people in our world today that are not pleasing to God. Our culture is all about you know, firsts. You know, we have to be the first to do this and the first to do that. We're on this fad kick. Everything's a fad. So transgender, that's a cool fad that's going on. And people get caught up in this, well, what's going to make me popular and what's going to make me feel good? In fact, we've had this going on for so long now, since around 2010 or so, we've had it going on for about 12, 13 years now, that some are, quote, transitioning back because they realize, oh, well, this isn't as popular as I was told it was going to be. And they're literally, their bodies are literally hurting, that they complain of body problems because hormones were pumped into their body that weren't supposed to be there. And I'm hearing more and more stories of where they're saying, I wish the healthcare provider would have been more honest with me when I walked into the office. But nope, they're going to transition me. And now I'm suffering for it. Why are we doing things like that? We're doing things like that because we want to please this narrative out there where you'll be liked and you'll be popular and you'll be accepted and it's cool and it's trendy. We've got to get back to chapter 4, verse 1. We've got to live in such a way each day that I want to please God in my talk and in my dress and in my actions, not please some cultural thing that's floating around, because that changes all the time. So we went through the thing in 1972 where abortion is legal and that's cool and accepted. And then we went through the homosexual marriage thing in the 80s and the 90s and that's cool and accepted. And now we're doing the transgender thing. What's it going to be next? You ever thought about that? Well, let's not worry about that. No, let's worry about that. It's coming. Is it polygamy? Is it pedophilia? What is it? It's going to be something. We're on this kick of just accepting things that are pleasing to individuals. Brethren, continue to please God, and you will continue to be that model church. With regard to that, I'm hearing this more and more. Maybe not so much among churches of Christ, although there may be some of those. I don't keep up with everybody. But I do in the general religious world. I'm hearing this. We are an accepting church. And we are, get it, it's on the billboards, we are an affirming church. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? We're an affirming church. If you come over here, we're an affirming church. In other words, you can live any way you want, and you walk through that back door, and we will affirm you. We will condone you and support you, even though you're living a sinful, immoral life. We're an affirming church. Well, man, they packed the building with that kind of business model. But they're not what we read here in 1 Thessalonians. Let's get back to walking and pleasing God. And when we do that, we will be a model. When we walk and please God by the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 8, not by the flesh. We do not please God when we're walking by the flesh. And that's what's going on in our culture. That's not pleasing to God. Romans 8, verse 8. It's pleasing to God when we walk in the Spirit. And Paul said, I'm not pleasing men. I am not pleasing men. I'm serving Christ, Galatians 1:10. What a great model they were, because they simply wanted to please God. Turn with me to chapter 4 and verse 9. The Thessalonian church was a model church because they continued to be taught of God. We want God to teach us. We don't care about what the modern scholars say. We don't care about opinions and theories and American culture and this and that. We want God to teach us how to live each and every day. I'm going to go to God for the source. And of course, we know that is through His Word. And so in chapter 4 and verse 9, but concerning love of the brethren, you have no need that one write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed you do it toward all the brethren that are in Macedonia. Taught of God. Where am I going to get my information today, young people? Where am I going to get my information? Well, I always get it on my phone. Okay. If your Bible's on your phone, that's good, I guess. But where am I going to? I'm going to be taught of God. And that's what makes us that model church. When we allow ourselves to be open to God's teaching, not man's ideology. And Psalm 71, verse 17, when we take God's word and we teach it to the next generation. And that's what's going on here. We have some generational families here. We've had parents who have taught the Word of God to children, and then those children have taught the Word of God to their children. And now we see that they're teaching the Word of God in these little classrooms to the little toddlers. They're teaching the Word of God to those, and it just keeps passing on and on. Keep doing that. Because we're in a culture where we're having information wars. We're having information wars is what it is. This is the truth, and then you have all that out there that's an error, and it's a battle between the two. Which one are we going to listen to? We're having an informational war out there. So where are we going to get our information? So Psalm 71:17, we're going to make sure that we pass that word of God onto the next generation. And how does God draw us? John 6, 45. They shall all be what? They shall all be what? They shall all be taught of God. So when Josh stands up here, and I've heard him do some preaching and listening to his recordings, he's teaching you. We don't need entertainment. We don't need entertainment. We don't need fun and games. We need teaching. Because that's how God draws. Look at John 6, 45. He doesn't draw you through entertainment. He will draw all men unto himself, for they will be taught of God. No fun and games. There's churches in the Nashville area. It's fun and games. And it's entertainment. And we need a guy who will stand up and make me feel all fuzzy inside and feel good and entertain me and tell some jokes and have a little light, this or that, and then all go home and go on our merry way. I don't want to learn any words. I don't want to learn definitions. I don't want to learn context. One time my dad was preaching in Hopkinsville, and he was standing in the back of the building when the brethren were going out, and they had a visitor that day. And a lady came out and she said, "I felt like I was in school." She didn't like that. "I felt like I was in school." In other words, I had to sit there and learn something. Really? We're supposed to learn. They will all be taught of God. So Bible-based sermons and Bible-based classes and Bible-based comments allows us to continue to be a model church. I appreciate the elders here and their desire and the members here, but in some places they're wanting things other than the teaching of God. They're wanting a lot of foolishness. And stuff slowly creeps in. And then you wonder why. You know, maybe some go out to the world, or some go into denominations, or who knows where they all go. But it starts with a leadership that did not want good, sound teaching. And I know that you have that here and you want that here. And that's a great thing. Please continue being that as a model. And then last of all, turn with me to chapter 5 and verse 23, and we'll close this morning. They were a model church because they were sanctified and set apart by God. I said to you earlier, it's going to be from the beginning of the process all the way to the end. When Paul first comes into Thessalonica, they accepted that preaching as the word of God, and then they just carried it through. They turned to God, and then they started serving God, and then they were walking and pleasing God. And then they're taught of God. How are they going to live all the way up until the time Jesus comes? Look at this, chapter 5, verse 23. "The God of peace himself sanctify," set apart, "sanctify you wholly," look at this, "and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The God of peace sanctify you wholly. I'm going to let God set every part of my life apart. Some people ask the question, well, is Paul teaching that man is made up of three things or two things? Is it an old dichotomy or trichotomy? We're made up of two things, an inward man and an outward physical man, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. The two things here are subdivided by Paul We know what the body is, of course. Spirit and soul just simply means this. Spirit is our inward spirit, and soul just means the life that spirit gives, the spiritual life that spirit gives. So our inward spiritual man and our outward physical body, it's all going to be preserved entire by God. We are a model when every aspect of our life, not just parts of it, are sanctified. And when Jesus comes again, Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, the bride that he wants to present to himself is holy and pure and spotless and without blame. Please keep being members in the Nashville area where every part of your life, inward and outward, young people, what you put into your body. For some reason, marijuana is on the way back. I don't know why. I thought we learned in the 1970s and 60s that'll flat mess up your mind. I thought we learned that. But no, we're going to go back to that. And not only that, but the man-made grown marijuana, the THP, is much higher in it than the old, what we call organic, just out there growing in the field. We have boosted the effect of that in our homegrown system, and it is deadly. But it's popular again for some reason. What you put in your body. Some brethren aren't fully convinced about the dangers of alcohol for some reason. Marijuana, vaping. Our whole body and inward spirit and mind needs to be set apart by God. And when we do that, we will be a true model. And that really is what Jesus is looking for, Ephesians 5, when he comes again. Brethren, when every part of this church is closely connected and directed by God, it is a model church. And I know that's what you want. I believe that's currently going on, and I want to encourage you to continue to be that. You have a great privilege here in the Nashville area to be a local congregation of saints. It doesn't matter what part of town you're on. It doesn't matter what the building looks like. It doesn't matter your numbers. What matters is that every aspect of your life is governed and controlled by God. And you are truly a model church. I've been blessed to know you, brother, for some years, and to see now even more growth, and to see the eldership, and to see great things that are going on here. Continue to keep moving in that right direction. More young couples and married couples and couples with children. What a great thing you have here. Be that model in this community. And there are people out there that are looking for the model that you are presenting, that God model. And you will attract them here. You will do that. Every pew will be filled, and you'll be adding on, and you'll be finding somewhere. What part of the building can we add on to? Because that's what this town needs. That's what this town needs, and you can give that to them. I would encourage you to do that. We're going to stand and sing the song of encouragement. There may be someone here this morning that if you've accepted what we've said, what comes from Scripture as the very Word of God, and now you want to turn to God, and you want to do that by putting on his son in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. That's the best way you can be a model to anybody around you, is to be a faithful Christian. If we can help you to do that this morning, why wouldn't you come as we stand and as we sing?